Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday.
Not Crab Feast without ass.
Good to see you, Jay Larson Comedy.
Good to be here, Sickle Cell. Good to be here with you, Feaster Nation. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. Nothing really. I'm not going to be on the road anytime soon, but I wanted to say I do have two albums available, Human Math and Self-Diagnosed, as well as Me Being Me. Me Being Me is an hour special. It's available at my website. If anyone's out there looking for some entertainment this week and you don't have any of those, please pick them up. And otherwise, any local dates I will be posting on social media. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. I wanted to say again, thank you to Tops, and want to let you guys know out there, you can get your own card made too. Nothing beats the excitement you experience as a kid when you open Tops packs and look for cards of your favorite players and top rookies. Now, Tops is offering you the chance to create your own trading card just like the pros. All you have to do is go to tops.com, upload your picture, and the cards will be delivered to your doorstep in 3 to 5 business days. With Father's Day right around the corner, it's the perfect present for Dad. I definitely want to see your guys' baseball cards. Get them made, post them to social media, tag us. We want to see that shit. Also, a huge thank you to everyone who took the Crab Feast survey. A lot of you did, and we have read your thoughts. Hilarious as always. So thank you all for doing that. Dates, I'm excited to announce I will be on the Joe Rogan Experience tomorrow. I'm stoked to be doing the show. So all you feasters, make sure you check me out over there. And then got a few dates in town, the Comedy Store, the Improv. You can go to my website, check that out. And as always, thecrabfeast.com, new and improved. One of the things you guys mentioned in the survey, thecrabfeast.com, mobile friendly. You can do whatever you want from there now, guys. The merch is always available. Love seeing you sport it. And you can find us on, obviously, iTunes everywhere, Spotify, Laughable, one of our favorite apps. And make sure you subscribe, guys. Subscribe and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Home run contest.
A lot of you people, you've been seeing Ryan and I making videos, chatting it up, talking trash. We look at some tentative dates. They're going to be late July, early August, waiting on some confirmation for some ball fields. We have some special guests that will be announced as soon as we can announce them. And we've been talking about what the bet's going to be. There's going to be a couple separate bets, a couple different bets. Clearly, it's who hits one farthest is one bet, and then the other bet is whether or not I hit 355. So, Ryan and I are going to figure out what the bet is for who hits it the furthest, unless you're ready for that one.
I'm ready for that. Okay. If you're comfortable with this, this is what I suggested, if you tell me if you're comfortable. You're now using wooden bats. Is that for both? Is that head-to-head and your 355?
Yeah.
Okay, wooden bats. The distance winner between the two of us, the... well, let me put it this way. The loser pays for a round trip airfare ticket for both of us. If obviously if you win, I pay for us to go to a Red Sox game, airfare and ball tickets for both of us. If I win, same thing, we're going to Baltimore.
Right. Which is a lot of fun.
Get ready to see me, Charm City.
So either way, I think the other one wins. Even if you lose, you win.
It's a win-win. It really is. Yeah.
And then what we're going to do for 355, we are putting it out to Feaster Nation to pick if I hit at 355, what I win, and if I don't, what Rye wins. It doesn't have to be the same thing. We're going to give you guys some disclaimers We're not going to be shaving each other's heads.
Eating shit, licking asses.
We're not going to be doing anything stupid like that.
Nobody's punching Larson in the face.
No one's
I've
punching
already
me
thought
in the
of
face.
That.
You know, so you guys are smart and creative, cultured people. Think of some cool things that we could do.
I mean, something you said that I thought was super cool and creative was a depending on the price of the thing, is a
yes.
billboard.
A
it
billboard
was
in the other person's city. I've actually, I have an email out to
oh,
see.
Oh, you don't get the in your own city.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Like you could, like, if I win, you could put it in Boston. Like, Boston, congratulations,
okay, I thought
Jay
you
Larson,
me.
The home run champ.
Sickler up
zone.
In Boston. You could be in my hometown, like Jay Larson. What
hey,
are
Baltimore. I know you're. Could you imagine just dump on Baltimore? I mean, you could do whatever you want.
You could do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. But we're looking for creative suggestions, and you know, and then we'll just go from there. So hit us up. crabfeastpodcast@gmail.com with email suggestions for what you think a good win for Jay, win for Rye would be. It doesn't have to be like if Jay wins, he gets his car like wrapped in a home run champ, and if Rye wins, he gets his wrapped. It doesn't have to be like
right.
we both would get the other thing. It could be two separate things. Excuse me, but that's another one. Imagine if we just get your car wrapped as the home run.
That's
kid.
A good one too. I could get you a dad for a day too. Maybe I feel like
dad for a day, baby.
Dad for a day.
You know what I mean? That's a shout out to my Aaron's first album, Self-Diagnosed. Pick it up now at iTunes.
I love it. I love it. Speaking of dad for a day, Father's Day is just around the corner, and if you're trying to find the perfect gift for Father's Day, there's nothing better than Omaha Steaks. If your dad loves to grill but hates the hassle and poor quality at the grocery store, what better way to kick off grilling season than by gifting an Omaha Steaks Father's Day package to dad? I recently was sent a package. I'm a dad myself, and I'll tell you, every time, you know, Jay and I love this deal. It's a great deal. They give you so much variety. There's so many things in there. I just had some people over, grilled out. Jimmy Josh Adams came over, ate my fucking steak. You know what he said? Is this the only one you're putting on? And as he's chewing my steak, then starts asking me when I'm making crab cakes. I'm like, shut the fuck up over there and eat your goddamn Omaha Steaks, you son of a bitch. Omaha Steaks offers everything your dad could want for his grilling needs. Omaha Steaks delivers hand-trimmed, flash-frozen, and vacuum-sealed meats directly to your door in an Omaha Steaks cooler. There's a variety of pork, poultry, veal, lamb, bison, seafood, vegetables. All the highest quality cuts with one-of-a-kind flavor. All beef is USDA inspected for quality and age for 21 days to unlock the full flavor and tenderness of the cuts. Omaha Steaks even gives you the option to customize cuts for your dad's grilling needs, find recipes, wine pairings, etc. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to our listeners for Father's Day at 78% off that Jay Larson special, y'all. This is really an amazing deal. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Crab Feast in the search bar, and you can get this Omaha Steaks Father's Day package, which includes two tender filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, four chicken fried steaks, two boneless pork chops, four all-beef Omaha Steak burgers, four gourmet jumbo franks, 12 ounces of all-beef meatballs. You know, we're big fans of the
full cooked, man.
I mean,
we like full cooked.
Yeah, these are the opposite of Sue Larson's,
you know what I mean?
Meatballs right here. Mm-hmm. 1 pound of steakhouse fries, four caramel apple tartlets, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet. Plus, you get four more grill-ready Omaha Steaks burgers free with your purchase. Again, this limited-time package for only $49.99. When you go to omahasteaks.com, type Crab Feast in the search bar and add Father's Day package to your cart. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Crab Feast in the search bar, grab your dad, and fire up the grill.
Fire up that grill and get fired up for this week's episode. We're excited to have him on here. First time on the Crab Feast. Ladies and gentlemen, give a warm Crab Feast welcome to Nick Gargiulo!
Oh.
Welcome to the Crab Feast!
Oh.
Got the
what an introduction.
You like that?
Yeah.
First guest ever to give us a little card with his phonetic pronunciation of his name.
I know.
Except Nick sounds more like,
well, because it's not my name is the problem. The Nick part is not my name.
Right.
Well, right,
Neil.
Here it says N-E-I-L, Nick, right there.
Oh God,
Nick.
But nailed the last name. Last name.
Almost fucked up.
It's a tongue twister.
Everybody, it's Neil Gargiulo.
Yeah, that's nice. I don't think I've heard someone actually just like look at it one time and be like, oh yeah, I got this, and just nail it. Bring me up on stage, anything. Oh yeah, Neil Gargiulo, here he is.
Do you, when that happens, do you then go up and say your name correctly, or do you just like take it?
Like a beaten dog, I no longer care.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is just what my life is.
I get called Rick so often, and it's
Rick Sickler.
It's my belief.
Dude, you ain't gonna believe this shit.
Ricky Sickler!
I can't even believe you.
Get in here, bro.
It's my belief because
who calls you Rick Sickler?
People in emails, when they see, for whatever reason, they see the R and the ICK, and it happens, like, I would say 50% of the time a new person.
I'm going to be honest with you.
It happens all the time.
I think I prefer Rick Sickler.
I mean, my mom probably did too, but.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rick Sickler. She's a lonely woman. I mean, that's a performer, man. Rick Sickler.
Neil, it's a pleasure to have you here. Before we get talking here, why don't you please plug whatever you'd like, your social media, to get Jay, give him his card so maybe you can see what his social media is over there.
I wanted to know my social media as well. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't get active on the social media the way I should, but I do get active on the stage a little bit in Los Angeles.
A lot.
So the Pack Theater. Fourth Saturday of every month with my group, Dr. God, and every Sunday.
Which you've had going regularly. I can't even say your
He's
last name.
He's tongue-tied tonight, baby. Yeah. It's going to be a
I had a little Taco Bell special item we were talking about earlier,
and
it is hitting me like drugs right now.
Everyone's got their own drug here tonight. Yeah. You had your Taco Bell.
Yeah.
We know how Ryan medicates. And I got a fresh pot of coffee because I was falling asleep.
That's a full pot of coffee.
When we started talking and I heard the things I was saying in the first couple of minutes here, I was like, you don't talk like that. That's not the way that you speak to people at all. But for some reason, you have this Taco Bell drug in you. When I was like, I think I said something like, but I don't do much on the social media. But I do things on the stage.
And you said what? My group, like they're going to come in like,
and I'm having an out-of-body experience. I was like, did I just get that?
You got dosed. Some high school kid probably just dropped acid in
Poor kid got TB. Tuberculosis? Anyway, nah, man. It's Taco Bell.
It's nice to finally have a real conversation now that I think we're back.
You got microdosed. I've been hearing a lot about that from the comedians these days.
The
microdosing
energy,
acid all day long. Mm. Acid. It just sounds like a terrible thing for me. But
Terrible.
Anyway, okay. Dr. God.
So Dr. God.
It's been a long-standing running show here in Los Angeles for how many years were you guys doing your show?
About 11 years.
11 years every Saturday?
Yep.
Amazing.
Every Saturday.
Every fourth Saturday.
Yeah, well, now it's every fourth Saturday.
Well, now it is.
Clearly, it's slowed down a bit.
Yeah, you know, it's getting the kids out to play in the improv.
Wait a minute. Is that how you normally speak?
No, I don't normally speak like that. What the fuck is going on right now?
I don't know, dude.
The kids.
You got like, you like aged 10 years or something.
I did. I don't know. You know? This is gonna be a tricky. It's gonna be a tricky episode.
We're all gonna meet you tonight, including yourself.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to finally.
I mean,
So fourth Saturday there. Every Sunday at the Ruby Theater at 8 o'clock.
Where's that?
Ruby Theater is what Nerdist used to be. Sunset. The Nerdist School stage was next to Nerd Melt.
Oh yeah,
and they have an improv stage on the side there.
Oh cool.
They have a little part in Super Troopers too.
Yeah, you do.
So small.
Boom.
So small.
You guys, it doesn't matter. They got go see. If you guys haven't, you know we love Lemmy Heffernan and all those guys. So go see Super Troopers too.
No, it's the coolest. It's been one of the most fun experiences.
I have said openly, Heffernan's my favorite out of Heffernan and Lemmy. Do you have a favorite?
No,
out of
I
the
don't.
Two of them.
They're just different people.
Heffernan, huh?
That was a genuine laugh.
But and then your group name is at drgodcomedy.com.
At drgodcomedy.com. Nope. drgodcomedy.com. At drgodcomedy.
Perfect.
Man, everyone's real excited that's listening right now.
Yeah, like, man, I'm sure they got that email now.
Sure.
I met you, couple years ago now, it's mm-hmm. been I was working with you guys on your pilot through our good buddy KP Anderson, and tell them what the premise of that thing was. I mean, Kent, do you mind?
I don't think I mind.
Yeah,
I think we can.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it's a so we would have people pitch ridiculous movie concepts.
But you wouldn't ask them to pitch ridiculous concept. You would
we would say
find
we
those
would say,
people.
Don't bring. like the story of your grandmother coming to America.
We went outside the box, right, here, guys. Yeah. We went outside the box. We're a progressive company.
No, what we didn't want to do was like lampoon like the story of someone's family legacy,
right,
and how they escaped Nazis. And we're like, cool, we're going to put on silly hats.
Yeah.
So we would take their ridiculous pitches, and you know, pitching is its own art form.
It sure is.
To sit across from someone and pitch something, especially on camera, very difficult. So people make mistakes and they go back. So we would make the literal versions of those mini movies.
I have a good friend who one time at a pitch left behind envelopes of money. Like said, like when they were done with the pitch, they go, "Hey, here's a little something to sweeten the deal." And there was like $3.65, like an odd number, and they'll. They didn't land it.
Will Ferrell has a thing where when he went to his meeting with Lorne, he brought a briefcase full of Monopoly money, and he planned on pushing it. He forgot to bring it in.
He forgot.
And then he had a second meeting, and he brought the whole. It's a whole.
You know what's funny is the person I was talking about is Rory Scovel. Do you know Rory? Uh-huh. And when Rory did a movie with Will,
uh-huh.
And on Rory's last day, he got a cake made. Of himself, like he got, like, you know, you get a photograph on the cake,
yeah.
And he put, "Dear Rory, thanks for everything. Couldn't have done this movie without you, cast and crew." And everyone was like going over, but Rory had sent it, and he said that Will went over and looked at the cake and goes, "Oh, Rory sent a cake for himself." That's fucking hilarious.
That's great.
I love the things that like you can go for, and sometimes they're going to crush, and sometimes they're going to be. Like, sometimes it's going to be the thing that does it, and sometimes it's going to be the thing.
But these
that
people
don't.
Totally. These people had passion about their.
Well, they were probably
pitches,
yeah. These are also people unestablished who like thinking this is the like golden ticket, right?
Yeah, I mean,
little they know they got Nick Gargiulo in there.
Nicky G. Come on, Nick. Nicholas.
But these people are getting so passionate about, but it's the most insane shit. He'd be like, and then he had a toothbrush. No. It was a napkin. You know, they would back, and then so they would work to exactly that spinal narrative, however they fucking said it. It was so fucking good and so fun and
yeah,
so
it really
funny.
Fun.
It was really fun.
It was a lot of fun.
So wait, and Rick over here was a
Rick and Nick, man.
Rick and Nick, baby, taking the world by storm.
Oh, one Taco Bell at a time.
Somebody
baby.
Make a Rick and Nick Sickler. Rick and Nick.
Wait, I'm taking his name in this scenario.
You guys just got hitched, baby.
You know what?
Just
Rick and Nick. We're the Julos.
I wanna fight back to keep my last name, but it just sounds so right.
Rick
it sounds so right.
Oh my god,
it sounds so right. So that's where we met.
That's where we met. Yeah, it's been.
And then you worked recently on the.
Yeah, we worked on the Kevin Hart project. I guess
right.
I can say that finally
yeah.
now. Yeah. That's safe to say now, which was a lot of fun.
People are like, Kevin Hart project.
Yeah.
Good Lord. See, which bro. One?
I know. But I've been wanting to have you on here for a while, and I just don't even know where to start with you. You're from New Jersey. You grew up in Jersey.
That's right.
And when this one right here, because this has sort of an acting background in this.
Yeah.
Is this before improv? Like, what is this?
That's during improv, okay. And maybe 2 years into Los Angeles, a year into Los Angeles.
Oh, it was out here?
Yeah, it was out here.
And it was for, yeah, can we tell us about this job you had?
So, you know, I moved to Los Angeles, 23 years old, and I get a couple of really shitty jobs that are soul-sucking and happen really early in the morning. And someone had told me about a performance opportunity, and when you're 23 and just dying to do something that's not cleaning up dog shit at 6 o'clock in the morning, you jump on all of those things. And it was an interactive murder mystery dinner theater show. And I didn't really know what that meant. I was like, yeah, okay, that sounds great. I'd love to do it. So like...
Sounds like complete awesomeness is what it sounds like.
Oh, it's the greatest.
What is it? What does that mean?
Okay, so the shows are in hotels. They're in like banquet halls.
Mm-hmm.
And people pay $70 to $90 a ticket to go to this experience where it's dinner and a show, but they don't realize that the show has started. When the show has...
Is there a stage or is players might just be sitting at your table?
Yeah, no, it is like... Think of like a reception at a wedding.
Fuck. It's like Clue.
Yeah, it's right? like a reception at a wedding.
Yeah.
You go in...
But how many people are we talking? 100, 200,
yeah,
bigger?
I would say...
Depends on how popular the couple is, right?
Right, between 60...
I mean, she's a dentist. He's a veterinarian.
Nah, man,
probably
you do
350
math,
people, but...
How's the chihuahua? All right, Michelle.
So, yeah, I'd say like between 70 and 100 people regularly.
And how many people in the cast?
Seven or eight.
Okay.
And you're all, and they're in one room.
So they're in one room. So you know, you'd be assigned a character. Like, I work in visual effects, and I know things about explosives and stuff like that, and that's my background.
So I'd just be sitting at a table and totally. Be like, hey, how you doing, Nick Angulo?
Hey, Nick Angulo.
I'm in effects. What do you guys do?
Yeah. You want to offer that information up as fast as possible, so your night is a fucking nightmare from now on, because people are trying to figure out who done it, right? There are five people.
So I'm sorry to interrupt, please. But unless you have brought your person or your people in your group, everyone else is suspect.
Everyone's a suspect in the room.
And no one knows who the actors are?
No one knows. So there are a handful of people, depends on the script, you know, 2 to 5 people that are part of it, that are in there, that are mixed in. And you don't know, you're trying to figure out who these people are. So you go the first day and you get introduced to this thing and, you know, you wind up going through it. And you learn that the last thing you want to do is communicate with people, mm-hmm. because they're just going to drill you for 3.5 hours and you're just going to have everyone coming up and giving you the.
But where are you? But why would they come drill you? Why wouldn't you be part of the drilling of other people?
So you are, but sometimes in this scenario, you're a single person who's there by themselves. So you stick out like a sore thumb because it's a table.
Oh, they wouldn't date you up or anything?
No, no. Well, sometimes you would be dated up, but depending on the character, you wouldn't be.
Yeah.
So you're at a table of like 8 people. 7 of them are all there together, and it's you.
And that doesn't scream giveaway?
No, it does. But like, it's really well done because they have like red herrings and people that they think it is that are included in some way. And then they have 2 detectives, and the goal that you want to get to is be those detectives, because you run the show and you're actually like performing for 3.5 hours. You're, you know, standing people up, making fun of people, like, you know, it's very interactive. So I get that job. And
this guy's got blood on his chest.
It's not my steak, man. It's steak.
Hey, now, was there a script? Did you have to follow a script? Or did you just know your game plan?
It would be beats of a script.
Yeah.
So
walk us through a night. Jay and I come in as a couple.
Okay.
I lean over. I'm like, I'm not wearing any pants.
Okay. You know, it's a good start. Because I know
already,
what's happen
outside of Jay, everybody in that room is suspect to me. I'm looking. I'm squinting at everybody.
So you're going. You're checking in. And you've got a little sheet where you can take notes on.
Oh,
you're going
right.
to go over and you're going to start talking detective. To people. Like, oh, that. Yeah. Everyone gets to play detective because the goal is a competition. At the end, the person who has the winner, who has the person who did it and why they did it based on the clues that come out over time, they get a prize.
Now, should we roll in with backgrounds created, like he's a computer engineer and I'm in sales and marketing?
I mean,
is that why?
Ryan's getting a little kinky here.
It certainly says something about you. As a person, if you're the type of person that goes in and creates the character, because there are people who do that, and that can be fun. There are people who do that, and they're an absolute disaster. there are people who decide, I'm going to go in here and just watch this thing, because my wife has wanted to do this for 5 years. Mm-hmm. There are people who go in there, and they're like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get as drunk as I possibly can and try to just sabotage a night where people have driven from hours away and spent like $500 for their family to come to this. I'm going to get blackout drunk and I'm going to do everything short of exposing myself. It's a lot. And you know, there are different environments. So sometimes
they do it at Hilarities in Cleveland. So there's 2 showrooms at Hilarities. One is the main showroom, which is like balcony and 400 seats and a big room, and then they have like this little like lounge where like some nights they'll just have jazz there and people eat dinner there and watch the band, and then like I think on Saturday nights they do the mystery murder theater.
Got it.
And like where the green room was, they'd come in and out because they had their own dressing room, and they'd be like coming in and switching and shit.
Totally.
It was intense.
You're like writing a thoughtful joke about a modern political moment, and they're like, hold on, I have to put on a new tie.
Exactly.
Uh-huh, totally. Oh, the blood is everywhere.
So what character would you play? And like, we come in, and who are you in this
situation? Pretty quickly in the run of this, I got to be one of the detectives, and that's what you want to be, because you want to be able to play with people.
Because prior to that, who were you? What roles would you have?
It would be, you know, I would be
like a waiter?
A reverend.
that doesn't fucking just throw up sirens for everyone. Yeah, it's the fucking Reverend, dude. One of them.
No, no, no. That 23-year-old...
He may not be guilty, though, but I'm saying that has a character in there, right?
That 23-year-old reeks of liquor? Yeah, he's a Reverend.
He's a Reverend.
Yeah. He's got a wife and three children.
Fucking Reverend.
Sure. Waiter, definitely. Waiter. That was the easiest one because you wanted to be able to pop in and out. You didn't want to be stuck in the room.
How often were you the murderer?
Rarely, because I pretty quickly got to be a detective, and you make a little more money as the detective, so you want to be that. You want to do that as much as possible, because also the detective, you're coming in and out, but you have complete control of the room.
This sounds like exactly what I want to do with my life when I retire. I want to fucking do this every
fucking weekend. What do you want to do?
I don't give a shit. I just want to be part of the cast.
Okay, the cast. That's what I'm saying.
Fuck yeah.
I don't want to be rolling every week.
This is the kind of thing. Michael over there just yelling from three tables over.
Every week I want to get as blackout drunk as possible and ruin the experience.
Yeah. I saw this on a cruise last week. Same ending. It's that guy right there, Larry.
Oh, man. Chuck did it. I'm not going to tell you all how he did it, but Chuck definitely does
going
it.
Going around the room whispering about Chuck did it.
Hell of a porterhouse tonight, y'all.
Oh, the food was... It was simultaneously... really tough, could suck your soul out, but also gave you things that, you know, you don't get paid to do improv in Los Angeles unless you go out onto like a cruise boat, like a Second City cruise boat. You don't really get paid for those things. You know, that's like showcase stuff.
Well, it's not really work.
No, it's not. You're doing make believe with friends.
Yeah, it's not really entertainment. You know what I mean?
It's not an art form, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, basically.
I get it. Yeah. No, totally. It's not something that people would go to for.
My father, I think it was one of my in-laws, asked me one time, now, I've heard that stand-up's an improv. Is there a thing there? And I was like, no. Someone asked me recently. I can't remember.
It's
who
just
it was.
Confusing that a stand-up club is called the improv. That's confusing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're used to it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
No.
Back to being a detective.
I know. I forgot. So, you know, the banquet food that you're eating is it's just delicious. And it's usually what you're dying for it. But you're not really eating much all week. So when you have a big hunk of, you know, the Salisbury steak or whatever
Salisbury steak's a big one.
Okay. Because it's a Holiday Inn Express.
Food. Yeah, exactly.
And they're cranking out 80 orders. So they're putting out whatever they can. But there are some, location by location, there would be some locations.
Running low on Salisbury!
There'd be like, you know, we did it at like Disney. There'd be...
In the park?
Yeah, like outside of the park in the hotel, they'd have private events there. And that would be like filet mignon and lobster. So that's an actual...
Oh, yeah.
And then I've been to a place where the surf and turf was salmon and chicken. They advertised
your mouth.
As the surf...
And turf. The chickens were moving quick before we got them.
That's right, motherfucker. We're doing river and sound.
Surfing.
That's how we're doing it, baby. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's funny about Disney not letting you do it in the park because I've heard this. One of you Disney fanatics can maybe verify this, and I probably have said it before, but when people always say, it's gangster. This is fucking straight gangster. Disney technically has never had a death in the park.
Because they like...
So yeah, even when that dude got decapitated, he was not dead in the park, according to Disney. They take him outside the park in the parking lot, and that's where they pronounce
They're dead out there. They've got a guy who's
no one's ever died in the most magical place in the earth.
He's clacking his jaw up and down. I think I'm all right.
Oh my God.
They're puppeteering him by putting his hand inside. Oh no, everything's okay, fellas.
So you're the detective.
So detective. So
what sort of murders are we talking here? Gunshots? Like lights go out? Stabs? What are we talking about?
It's a gunshot. It's a stab. No explosions. There's a scream, always a scream. And, you know, you do it and it starts to build for you. You start to be able to pay some bills with it. So you don't resent it as much. And all of a sudden you're starting to look forward to it. And now you're going multiple days a week, if possible, during the season of during the holidays, they do a lot more like holiday parties and stuff like that. And whereas you resent it early on, then you start to like have a little drinking money. Very small amount of drinking money, and now you're also like beholden to it. Like it's this like tin handcuffs. We're like, oh, I have to get as many of these dinner murder mystery. I don't want to say the name of the place. But then I failed and said it, so fuck me.
What is a night? What does that pay for a night?
Oh, you could walk out of there with 120, 130
dollar tips
with tips
plus some Salisbury.
That's with tips.
Is that as a detective?
That's as a detective.
Man,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what we're talking about. I've been paid $8 at the Improv before. So,
I would go to a check cashing place afterwards for drinking money. Just be like, you know what?
You fuck the 10%.
Fuck the 10%.
Get a manager, man.
Boom. I'm going in. I'm coming out. Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun. But the thing is, you know, those private parties could get a little crazy. And
craziest thing.
The whole reason that I even wrote that down was for this final party, the last one that I kind of did. And it was a 3-day event where normally it's like a 3-hour thing. It is.
And real quick, as a detective, do you know going in, or do you really not know
who killed the fake person in the fake show?
Yes.
No, I know who's who the murderer is. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I just wanted to know if it was something you also had to solve.
No. Oh, God. No. Yeah, I have to guide the people towards solving it.
I see.
But we go to this event, and it's at a hotel, and it is, I don't know, maybe there's like 500 to 700 people there, and it is for people who work for the police force, retired FBI agents, retired CIA agents who are working as consultants for large companies, for security companies and stuff like that. And this is, a couple of vendors are trying to sell big items there. So there are people coming around from around the country. And the person who threw this thing together was like, oh, you know what we should do? What would be a lot of fun that I'm sure all of these police officers from around the country would really appreciate. Let's try to dupe them for 2 days. And then have a murder mystery dinner theater thing. I'm sure that those guys would really love that.
They didn't know this was going to happen?
They had no idea. So our job was for 2 days,
we had to
become best friends with as many people as possible. And
lie and have a backstory. And
completely lie. We had to be from different parts of the country.
Who were you and where were you from?
I was from Casper, Wyoming.
What did
this,
you do?
This Dago Rican face is from Casper, Wyoming. Oh, yeah. Hey, fellas, you know me. Just a Casper native. And I worked in the...
What if a guy was like, oh, man, listen, we had this 1022 one night, and you didn't know what the fuck it was?
I would steer it to sports. I'd be like, yeah, I feel you, man. Detroit, the Pistons, huh? Talk to me.
You guys been following the Coyotes this year? What do they call it? The Cowboys? What is University of Wyoming?
Cowboys.
The Cowboys?
Yeah. You'd have to do that for a couple of days, and this one paid like almost $1,000. So this was the crown jewel of them all.
Shit out of the
yeah, FBI. Totally. So we'd like hang out with them in the day and go to these little seminars, but then hang out at night and drink with these dudes. And nobody, I mean, why would you be onto it? You don't know that there's a murder mystery event in 2 days.
But what the fuck do they think's happening? Just a get-together, a mixer, two-day mixer?
Well,
like,
think's happening? I'm hanging out with them outside of a banquet hall. I'm hanging out with them at, like, the conventions they're going to, and, they're there for conventions.
Okay, so there are other things going on. It's like a security thing,
probably. Right, totally, yeah. So, security, basically. And
let me tell you something. I don't trust this Nick Gargiulo guy. From Casper, Wyoming, my ass.
There was one guy who, in the first 5 minutes of being there, I was outside, we're chatting, a group of us, we're all laughing it up, and this guy turned to me, he's like, where do you say you're from?
Shut up, dude!
Within 5 minutes, I got made from this one guy. Casper. He's like, that doesn't sound, there's something off about you, I don't know what it is.
He and I'm said
like,
that?
I swear to God, to like point blank, I'm like, I don't know, I gotta go inside. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then the rest of them are just, you know, we're all buds, we're drinking. I mean, like, I start to learn about their lives. Like, how's your marriage doing, man?
Yeah.
Like, all of that. So then...
You see him on the cell phone, like, under a tree, like, yeah, he's talking to Karen.
I told him not to. He shouldn't take her back, man.
Listen, I know I'm full of shit here, and I'm not from Casper, but I meant everything I said about Karen.
Everything else, though. Honestly, you cannot trust that woman.
Man, I hope that trip to Yellowstone works out.
I mean, I still plan on coming, if that is all right. I mean, we did have a plan in place. It was under a false identity, but the plan was solid.
My God.
So 2 days pass, and then we go to what they think is just you know, another demonstration of a product. And all of a sudden someone comes in screaming, by the way, great idea to have someone come in with a knife, you know, hanging out of them in a room full of police officers.
Banging their guns out like, totally.
Because I'm like, because we pull out guns. We pull out fake guns. And I'm like, am I going to get popped in the
Holy
fucking head?
Wait, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Did everyone in the whole place pull them out?
Okay. So no one did. Fortunately, we made sure it was, they did a silly enough job. You really had to lean into the silly. They did a real silly job. And then, you know, because it's a large enough place where it was like between 500 and 700 people, they needed to have, because we're walking amongst them, they had cameras pointed on us that were projected. And in our pockets, we had headsets. So we're sitting at the tables. We're normally not sitting at the tables with the people. And then we get up and we pull our guns out and just, you know, start doing our thing. Everyone hands in the air. And I look at the people that I'd gotten really close with, and they looked at me. Half of them were like, oh, I can't believe you did this. And the other half were like, I'm going to fucking murder you with a real weapon.
Fuck this nigga.
There's something off about him.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. And then, they didn't. Did you have the mystery that night?
Yeah, we did the whole.
But why? They all knew who. They had to figure it out of you guys who did it?
No, because there are other people who are there who are interacting, like who's the actual murderer, but they've met.
So you were a detective.
So I was a detective.
And someone runs in with a knife sticking out of them and screams and what? Just falls over.
Falls over and dies, and then. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's on now, bitches!
Did they figure it out pretty quick?
I mean,
still
it
unsolved.
Was Sarah.
It's unsolved.
I think, get the dessert.
I think the majority of people at this point
it's
were like,
"It's an unsolved mystery. It's a fucking security."
It's Sam. Look, it's all over his face.
They stumped me, man. I don't know.
Watch this. I got it. He just goes up and punches her in the face. Was it you? See, fucking told you.
I'm a school teacher.
I don't know the I don't know the expectation of the participation level of like, yeah, we solve real crimes every day. I'm not interested in necessarily going through. Yeah.
Lost my partner 2 weeks ago, asshole. And I want a Salisbury steak for him, goddamn.
Good Lord. If I was a police officer and that shit went down, I'd been like,
kill.
I'll be outside.
The one guy who I approached him afterwards, and I was like, all of these people, I've met hundreds of people. In the first 5 minutes of me being in this hotel, you totally had me. He's like, you know, he kind of gave himself a little pat on the back and was like, yeah, well, you know, if something don't smell right, that's it. That's.
I want to know.
If something don't smell right.
He's like, but I'll tell you what, that girl Teresa you're working with, she's got potential because I didn't get.
I'd say that, you know, and I don't like to give notes or line readings, but, you know, when you come out in the beginning.
Seriously.
I was telling you, I've said it before, but I have a friend who went to one of these at it was a dinner, but it was a small spot, like a bed and breakfast, maybe 8 rooms, I think it was, something like that. And they do the whole dinner thing. It's Valentine's Day, and he's with his date. And they it turns out that this wife murdered her husband and set the place on fire. So they all head back to the bed and breakfast after the dinner. My friend and his date are having very loud, passionate sex to the point where they're getting complaints from the host. They're calling up.
No, this is good.
You know this is a bed and breakfast.
Yeah, he's like, this is, you know, it's Valentine's Day. They're drunk. It's a small place. The walls are thin. They're fucking, they're loud. And they get a few complaints, 3 or 4 complaints. And then they hear fucking fire trucks or sirens. They hear this, you in the window. And he was like, this is and he opens it up and there's fire trucks out there, and he's like, they're telling him the place is on fire, you need to get the fuck out.
Oh, Jesus.
Of the thing.
Taking this thing to the living.
And it turns out that a woman who was part of the group murdered her husband, did what they did in the event, murder her husband, and then set that bed and breakfast on fire. And I said, you're full of shit. And he showed me the newspaper article in, it was in Annapolis.
That's.
Listen, I paid for it. It was a great, hey, good work, everybody. Go on home.
I've had, that's the one thing.
Killed
that,
that's insane. That's insane.
Every person who comes into that place, it was like a rite of passage. They'd be like, you know, guys, I've had this idea. what if someone killed someone at one of these things?
Of course.
And I mean, I probably have heard that pitch 60 times. But to have someone actually do it, I appreciate that. Someone actually go
he
for
pulled
it
up on his phone in my kitchen, and I was like, you got to be kidding. Getting this back in the day before internet, we all would have just been like, you're fucking crazy asshole.
Wait, but were there really complaints?
Yeah, well, they were complaining about the sex, and then he thought that they had taken it to the level of calling the police with a bullhorn. He couldn't understand why, how, come on. So he opens the window, and he looks, they're like, it's all, and he's like, oh, holy shit. So they go out, and then they quickly figure out that this woman murdered her husband and set the place on fire.
What happened to her?
I'm sure she went to jail. I have no idea.
She won a Tony 2 years later.
Unbelievable.
She's really talented.
For writing.
Mm-hmm. Serving Salisbury steak really in a woman's penitentiary right now. Man. Mm-hmm. That does. I mean, it sounds like a fun job.
It is.
How many people out of those cops and FBI guys like nailed who it was? And were you guys throughout those 2 days dropping subtle hints so they knew a little bit, like that if people remembered?
No, I was trying because the last thing you want to do is give your position away and then get and then just get like. It's just an annoying existence to have someone be like, okay, so I've got some other information, and then just talk to you. Just talk at you for hours and hours on end. So you want
to... Lying to dudes.
Yeah, you just have to, like, just lie as much as possible.
What about when you told us you were working for the CIA over in the Middle East, like, interrogating?
Yeah. No, that was real.
Yeah, that was real stuff.
Yeah. No, I don't screw around about that.
Sorry to interrupt you guys. It's going to be quick. First Leaf, a proud sponsor of the Craft Feast, the only online wine club that uses your ratings to make personalized wine selections match to your taste. Here's the deal. When we buy wine, we go out of habit. We go out of suggestions. We don't remember how we found our favorites. We just know that when we go to the store at the checkout line, we can get the same brands and the same bottles in our carts every single week. First Leaf is a new online wine club that's putting a stop to boring wine buying by helping you discover your new favorite wines. The only way you're going to improve your palate, yeah, that's a wine term, is by trying new things. Here's the deal. First Leaf, what they do is you answer three quick questions about your wine drinking preferences. Then they send you an introductory three-pack of wine based on your flavor profile. Best part is you get all three for just $5 each. The wine should go for like $20 a piece, so $60 value for $15.
That's a hell of a deal.
When you get your bottles, okay, you taste them, and then you rate them online, letting First Leaf know, hey, look, these are my ratings of the wines that you selected. And then your next shipment, they change. They adjust. Their experts are constantly exploring new wines for you to taste and rate. Amazing how accurate they are at selecting wines that you'll love. I did it with Kate. We got some great wines up front, and then we said, oh, yeah, but we like this. We like that. We're trying to get out of our comfort zone. And then the next shipment, it was better, and we were like, oh, we don't usually like, you know, like a Fumé Blanc was one that they sent.
Fumé Blanc, baby.
And it was delicious, and we're like, all right, boom, let's, you know. So five out of the six wines that we got were perfect, and then the other one, we just switched out, and they gave them the reviews. Shipments are only get better as the more you rate, okay? So with First Leaf, you never have to worry about spending money on a bad bottle of wine. They guarantee you'll love the wine you buy, or they'll give you your money back. So, here's what they're offering. Sign up with our personal link and you'll get an exclusive intro offer. It's three bottles of wine for $15 plus free shipping. That's not all. If you rate those three wines, you'll get an extra $10 off your next box. Go to tryfirstleaf.com/crab. That's tryfirstleaf.com/crab. It's also on the website. You can go there for this week's post. Let's get back to the show.
Will you tell us this Bed-Stuy story?
Oh, yes, I will.
Where were you living at the time?
I was living in the Lower East Side of New York. Orchard and Stanton.
Okay. You ever go to Little Frankie's?
No, I would go to Rosario's Pizza. Okay. I lived right above it.
Oh.
It was very convenient.
Yeah, I guess so.
How old were you?
I was 22, I want to say. 22 years old. And my old roommates... had one of them had a little brother who had just moved into Brooklyn. They're like, we're having a house party tonight to celebrate him in his new place. It's him and like six of his buddies moved into a house. I said, well, a house? I haven't been to a house in so long. Yes, I'd love to do that. I'd love to go to Brooklyn. I don't really know Brooklyn. I'm not like studying a map, and I don't really know the sections. I know that Bed-Stuy is a place because I listen to 90s hip hop. So I know that it's a bad place because it existed in 90s hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get on
this
a trip.
This is what, 12 years ago?
A little more, 13, 14.
Okay.
Yeah, about 14 years ago. And I go with my friend, who at the time I was like maybe 150 pounds, and maybe he was 130 soaking wet, and then his girlfriend was like 95 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I took the two roughest people I know. And but I did, again, I didn't know I was going into a bad situation. I was like, oh, I'm going into Brooklyn. I had done like children's theater in Brooklyn. And like Yeah, of course. Like, this is a lovely little neighborhood we're going to go to. Coney Island. Ever been? Oh, you ride the coaster.
Grab a dog.
Of course. So I go, and, you know, I'm dressed for battle. I've got a pair of silver Adidas pants, a sleeveless t-shirt.
Man, you're Jersey all day.
All day. And I've got a...
Sounds like a church outfit.
Oh, yeah. Sunday
Puerto
church.
Rican just creeping out everywhere.
Oh, don't worry. I was wearing bath sandals. I was wearing, but you know, because when you're running away from someone, you want to make sure you've got traction. Yeah. Yeah, totally. So we get there. Again, I don't think anything of it because we're just stopping at a stop. We walk up. The sun is still out a little bit. It's in the summer.
And what's, why are you going to Brooklyn?
I'm going to a house party. Yeah. The like house a house party, right. Housewarming party. Mm-hmm. For some like kids who went to the new school. And so I'm walking there and, you know,
new school kids living in fucking Bed-Stuy.
Dude, the craziest. I don't even understand. Like, I don't understand where they get to the place of like, you know, this is a great. Like, they go and check it out and they're like, yeah, let's do it.
Because they now have to pay for stuff.
True. And they're paying like $200 each.
Yeah.
For like a big house.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I'm walking along and I'm being like, you know, friendly. I think I'm a pretty friendly guy. Hey,
so,
how
yeah.
are you? Hey, how you doing? And not getting the responses I'm used to when I give a hi, hello. I go to buy a pack of cigarettes from the gentleman behind the counter. Hey, how are you? Nice day, huh? Yeah, it's $6 and stuff. Like, just like, no, yeah. I'm not interested in communicating with you right now. Fine. Totally get it. Then as we start to walk, because it's like a 10-minute walk from the train station, starting to get comments that are making me a little uncomfortable because they feel like direct threats.
Like what?
Like you in the wrong fucking town, motherfucker.
Oh, something you like know? That. Yeah.
Something that made me go, okay, yeah.
You could say arguably not a threat.
Not a threat.
But said in a way that.
Yeah, and then we get to a point where there's two kids riding bicycles around us. I don't mean like...
As you're walking, they just continue to circle.
I don't mean like 20-foot perimeter. I mean directly around us, two kids yelling at us, you're going to fucking die tonight, motherfucker. You're going to fucking die. And I'm walking. And I'm
How old are they? Like 14?
Like 14-year-old kids who are like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
They're like scouts and shit.
Totally. I've got, this is the most Jersey thing. I've got a fake Rolex that I slip into my Adidas pants.
Your silver.
Give it away.
My silver Adidas pants. Like, well, I don't want to get shot for another one. So ridiculous.
Give it away and run so they figure out it's fake.
What was your friend and the girl doing?
I assume they were trying to keep the shit that was pouring down the back of their pants from coming out of their heel. Yeah, it was. So we're getting to a point where I'm now strategizing. Like, I'm the toughest person of these three. We're in a lot of trouble. But the house is right around the corner. I you know, following the direction. And we get to the corner, and now the sun is almost down. And my thought is, all right, we're going to go into that house because it's a shorter distance away. And I'm going to just call a cab. We're going to be fine. We're going to get out of here. So we're walking, and there are two police officers standing outside of a car. And I hear in the distance, hey, fucko, get the fuck over here. And I'm like, I think he's talking to us. And we go over.
You the silver pants. Hey, well, Shiny.
That could be anyone. That could fucking be anyone.
Get the Tin Man out here. With the Bolex wristwatch over there. Get over here, man.
The Bolex.
So,
he can spot it from that far away. Yeah.
Oh, man. Look at this guy.
I mean, look, in that beat, he knows. Yeah. Come on, man. That's a... So we go over to him, and he's like, hey. And he pulls me aside because he can see...
That you're the shiniest.
That I'm the shiniest of all of them. And he's like, hey, I don't know what the fuck you and your stupid fucking friends and all the assholes who are in that house right now, because it was like two houses away, think you're fucking doing here. But let me tell you a little story. Last night, two of my best friends were shot and fucking killed who are police officers on this street. Are you like, and you
Jesus.
Know, yeah, I mean, like, he's like, are you the stupidest people on earth? Like, do you know you're in the middle of hell right now? Do you realize that? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't have these conversations with people ever.
It's before gentrification was like as prominent.
Totally. I just didn't know. So he's like, so here's my recommendation to you. You turn around right now. You walk back towards the subway. Hopefully you make it there alive and you never fucking come back here again. And I was like,
could you walk us?
Yeah. Yeah. We just need a buddy. Can we do a buddy system?
Seriously. Can we get the canine?
But, you know, he's like, it's your choice. Do whatever you want. I don't give a shit. And that was it. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, oh, man, the house is like, I'm looking at it. I could spit on it. Like, let's go into the house and let's just make this thing happen. We'll go in. I'll call a cab. We'll be fine. So we go in.
Against the advice of the police.
And against,
well, whose friends slash fellow been, officers yes, were just slain.
Totally.
Less I wish than 24 like, hours.
Hey, man. I think I saw you at a conference I was at a few years back. Okay.
You know what? You know what? Stick around a little bit.
Yes. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. So I go into the house. Everything's calm. Fine. And I call a cab company. And the guy goes,
huh? Hey, pick up your ass.
We're not coming there. I called 7 cab companies. And every one of them basically laughed me off the phone. They're like, yeah, there's no fucking chance. There's not an amount of money you can give me to come do that.
Damn.
I know. And now it's later. Like, the sun is down.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, now, like, 2 hours have passed, maybe. Maybe, like, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I'm like, all right. Like, and now people from the neighborhood are starting to come into the house. And it's becoming a party, but the people who are throwing the party are no longer in charge of the party.
Yeah, I know the deal.
Uh-huh.
I've had a party like
truffle
that.
Fries.
Yeah. So I'm like, we gotta suck it up. It's now or never. Because look, 11 o'clock is very different than 2.
Oh yeah. Listen, it ain't your house. Invite everybody. Invite the whole neighborhood in and duck out the back.
Yeah, that's it.
That's how you fucking that's do it.
So we walked. And we walked basically like arm to arm. Like three.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
Oh my God, we absolutely were. We were walking down the yellow brick road and it was.
And you and the Tin Man.
Because you're pissing yourself.
Of course, man. Oh God. So, you know, similar to the walk there.
Pitch black now, though.
Pitch black and, you know, scary, but. I mean, sorry, beyond scary. I'm shaking. I'm trembling the whole time, as are all three of us. But. At least there aren't as many people that are out on where we happen to be walking. So we get it a little bit. But at any point, we're like, this is how I die. Like, this is the way I die going to a hipster party before, like, hipster was a thing.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely in Bed-Stuy.
Yeah, totally. And
that could have been the birth and death of it right there.
Bedford's Divescent.
We got to a train and we got back. Even on the train, though. And, like, we got back to the Lower East Side. And even there, I was, like, still, like... We should get in my apartment. We should get inside of my apartment.
It stenches on us.
I don't know. We went for a beer. We went for a beer downstairs in Lower East Side, and we had a, you know, we all had one. We were all kind of sitting there, calming down. I want to say Joe's maybe. It wasn't Joe's though, but it was like next to Joe's in that area. And I have a, you know, we all are taking a sip, and I'm just noticing my hand just still kind of. Going a little bit with the beer. You know, you're trembling having that beer. That's Jesus story wraps Christ. Up with me not dead.
I remember I had this when I was living in Venice way back. So like this was like 2002 or 3 back when we had gang members on our street. Even so much so one time Jordan, my roommate, was like, "Yo, can I talk to you for a second?" I go, "Yeah, what's up?" And he goes, "Come here." And like my girl was over, his girl was over. And he goes, "Come over here to the window." And we look out next door. There was like a 2-story building where all the, like, the doors of the outside are on like our side. And up the stairs of this building is like 12 dudes all with bandanas across their face with machine guns. And I was like, "Holy fuck." And he's like, "Yeah, dude, I was just out front." And his wife now, Marnie, was coming to give him like a CD. And he was waiting.
Got a mixed CD.
Totally.
Hey, Hey, Marnie's here.
Coming over into gunfire.
So he's sitting in his car, which I now own, and he's just sitting there, and he's just like looking down at like maybe his phone or whatever, and he looks up, and there's two dudes.
This story's
standing in front of the Explorer with guns and bandanas.
And he's parallel parked, so he can't get out.
Yeah, he's just there. You know, it's our street. It's a one-way. We live in a one-way.
That's right.
And he's just sitting there, and the guys just, they both look at him, and he makes eye contact, and then they just walk away. And I guess what had happened was the guys that were, the gang guys on our street, we had like one drug house on our street. They were all mad cool with us, all the gangbangers that live in our neighborhood. Like, I would come out to move my car for street cleaning at 10 a.m., and they'd all be like leaning on my car. And they're like, yo, we're just coming to get you, man. You got a street cleaning. I'm like, I hear you.
Coming to get you.
Can I ask you, was it a funny thing? Was it like you being funny and making them laugh?
No.
Or did you just connect as buddies?
No. It was, we all live in the same neighborhood together. We look out for each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it was. Now, that area, for a while, I mean, we heard gunshots a lot in that neighborhood. We saw those. So basically what happened though that night was a dude got out, mm-hmm. and these guys were going to get him because of something that had wronged in the past. You know right. what I mean? So
no gunfire, though, but 12
no
guys
gunfire
firing.
That night.
Good
no.
Lord.
But, you know, when I lived on like four streets down, and that was a bad neighbor. I watched these dudes beat a woman like in the doorway, and I'm sitting there like trying to call the cops, and then they look over at me and I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Right.
That was like when I was on Indiana, and then I moved on over to West San Juan, and then I moved one street over to Westminster, then back to San Juan. In those, all four of those areas, there was shit going on all the time. And then, you know, so that happened that one night. Anyway, so one night, Jordan and I are having a party because that neighborhood got to a point where, like, you know, we could have friends over. You know, it was right. it was fine, but they were just, you know, you just had to know that that was going. I remember one Mother's Day, I came home from work and brunch at World Cafe, and the whole street was out partying on Mother's Day. And I stood it at, like, a Suburban with these three black women and this one black dude smoking joints. And I'm in a pink shirt with a pink tie. Their mom comes over. They're all smoking.
Sure?
I remember one dude came over and was like, who the fuck's this dude? And they're like, oh, you know Jay? He lives right here. I'm like, hey, man.
Hey, I'm Jay. I'm high and I'm wearing pink.
But like one night we were having a party and these three dudes come in who I'd never seen. And like now they're in the kitchen. And I'm like, I know everyone kind of knows us on the street. We're never really hanging, you know, but... And they're in the kitchen, and this dude said one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. He brought in a handle, a plastic handle of whiskey. What the fuck is the name of that shit? Evan Williams.
It looks like Jack Daniels,
yeah,
but it's not Jack Daniels.
It's not great.
Yeah.
And I had a bottle of Hypnotic. Remember when Hypnotic came out?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And this dude, yeah, this dude, it was like a quarter emptied. So there's three quarters full. And the guy goes, hey, man. I go, hey, what's up, man? He goes, listen to this right here. I'm going to take this Hypnotic. I'm going to give you this Evan Williams right here. And I'm like, nah, I'm good, man. And he goes, nah, man. I'm going to take this Hypnotic. I'm going to give you this. And I was like, okay, yeah, all right.
Yeah. All of a sudden, well, you know, funny, the second time you said it, it got so much more fair than the first time. The first time it wasn't as fair.
They kicked it. We all had a good time. They left like, all right, we're out of here. Like they were having.
They didn't just take it and bounce. They hung with you while they drank
dude,
it.
They were. They didn't. They treated us like we were neighbors.
Yeah.
Right. And but they were almost like, yo, this party's a little too square for
yeah,
us.
Right.
We're gonna head over to whatever party we got going on.
Uh-huh.
But they were super. Always. One time I came out to my car, four dudes are sitting on my car, and I would leave the windows down and shit. I'm like, this is my neighborhood. No one's gonna fuck with that car with these guys around. And I come out and they're like, what's up, Jay? I'm like, what's up, man? They go, when are you gonna sell me this car, man? It was a Buick LeSabre. And I go, fucking right now, dude.
Yeah.
They go, how much? I go, $2,000. I'm like, $2,000? You crazy? Yeah. I'm like, hey, that's the price, man. And then they're all dying. I just drive off. Because they must have just been like, who is this fucking
right.
kid?
But you had the right move there because, you know, your party wasn't exactly what people wanted, so it was the pregame spot. The pregame spot doesn't get destroyed in late night craziness.
What do you
like,
mean?
Like people
oh,
going.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Like
they
people
just
are,
popped over.
Come
like,
by your place at 7:39.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then out doing something else. So you, that's good. That's the best situation possible.
That is a good move.
The greatest party move that ever happened at that house was there was a little tiny guest house. That's where I lived first. Then I moved over with Jordan a street over, and then we moved back to the two bedroom. This gay couple. These two guys, Morgan and Bill, they were fucking ball. They had like maybe an acre lot in Venice. They had a giant like three bedroom home. They had a pool. Then they had the two bedroom house. Then the guest house. And so now we lived in the two bedroom, and this trash fucking kid from Oregon moved into that little house, and he was selling weed out of it, and he had like a peephole because it was like getting shady and shit. And I fucking hated this kid. And we're having a party one day, and he comes over, and I'm talking to T.O. Double. T.O. Double, my boy Todd, is man in the grill. And this kid comes over, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And like, he just like, it's right there. Like, his house is right next to ours.
Right.
And he goes, hey, what's up, man? He goes, I brought over some Jack Daniels. And he put it down on the table. I'm like, oh, yeah, man, we got a little bar set up inside. And he goes, I brought some Coca-Cola. And he puts it down. I'm like, yeah, man, if you just want to put it inside, like, you know, we got a thing coming. And he goes, I got some Sprite. And then he like drops the Sprite on the ground. I go, or you can just go the fuck home, dude. And Todd looks at me like, holy shit, dude, what are you doing? And the kid looks at me, and he's staring at me. And he's like flexing a little, like his face. And I go, I'm just fucking around, dude. If you just want to put him inside. And he goes in, and Todd looks at me and goes, what the fuck was that? I go, I don't know, man. Was that like, was I out of line? And he goes, what the fuck are you yelling at the kid for? I'm like, I just fucking can't stand him. He goes, why? I go, I don't know, man. It's just something I don't like. Right? And he's like, well, dude, just relax. We're having a party. I'm like, all right. 15 minutes later, dude, I'm out front. You know the story, right? I'm out front. And Todd comes out. He's like, yo, man, you got to do something about your boy.
Your boy.
And I go, what the fuck are you talking about?
Your best friend who you invited into this thing.
Yeah. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, so he's working the grill. And that kid kept going, yo, is my corn ready yet? And my boy was like, yeah, it's going to be a second, dude. Just hold on a second. He's like, hey, where's that corn at, dude? And he just kept like getting on him. Finally, my buddy Todd took his corn, goes, see your corn? And just threw it over the fence. And goes, go get your fucking corn. <It's the best.
laughs> Oh, man. There's no mistaking the message he's sending with that.
I'm pretty sure he got it.
It was clear. It was direct. I appreciate that. Shit. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I just have no patience for that shit.
I'm just looking through your other stories here. You have a story about your grandmother, and I really do want to hear it, because Jay and I both were, I mean, we were
raised
by
our grandmoms.
Yeah, I mean, your mom was there too, but you're definitely raised by our grandmoms.
Yeah, I have such an affinity for grandparents. I had all four of them in my life for quite a while.
You did?
Yeah, totally. I saw two of them are still alive.
Damn. Shut up.
They,
who?
My grandmother and grandfather on the Italian side.
What are their names?
When you said who, I took it as like, do you know Gina Gargiulo? are you
well,
friendly?
Well, guess what, motherfucker?
Gina!
Is she Grandma Gargiulo or is she just G-G-G-G, huh? Triple G.
Was she Nana? Or
no,
Nona?
She was Grandma.
Oh, okay.
She was Grandma.
What was the other one?
Grandma.
Oh, wow.
But like more like Grandmam. Yeah, totally. the one that I have the relationship with that he's referring to just passed away last year at 94.
Oh, man.
The other one, like my grandfather died at 82 when I was 15. But the two that are alive currently are on the Italian side. They just celebrated their 70th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah.
How old
like
are they?
91 and 92.
Shit. Damn. They're young.
Right?
For them.
For 70 years.
They still drive?
No.
They still walk?
Yep.
Okay.
Grandfather walks a little bit less, has the walker, but he walks. My grandmother, like, vacuums the house and is up and down the stairs all day and does laundry for everyone and is just like, it's insane.
Does Pilates.
Yeah, I mean, teaches Pilates.
Teaches. She got her on that fucking, what's that thing called? Pilates thing.
I don't know, but Joseph Pilates invented it. Pilates.
It's
bunk beds out of the military, man. It really
right,
is. It's pattern
right.
after
You gave
that.
It an Italian flair, though.
Yeah, when you go Pilates. Look at it, you're like, oh, this fucking does look like bunk beds from the military.
Wait a minute. Do they cook? Like, do you have, like, amazing food growing up as
totally.
A kid?
Yeah, all of those things. So on the...
Thanks for sharing what those great things were.
Well, you know.
No, that's nice.
Sausage. No, let's do it. I'll lay it out. Sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Meatballs.
Stuffed peppers.
Yeah. There's...
Manicotti.
Stuffed
shells.
And then sauces.
Baked ziti, lasagna.
There are plenty of sauces. Yeah. Basically, if you have ever seen a movie where there's an Italian grandmother
mm-hmm.
and the shit that she makes...
Gotcha.
It's that.
Gotcha.
There was no special thing.
Pizzalies?
Hmm?
Making pizzalies?
I'm not sure if you're saying a word.
I don't know what that is either.
Pizzalies are cookies that are about this big.
They're super thin.
Yeah, super thin, and you make them almost like in a waffle press.
Is that how you say it?
Pizzalies.
Interesting.
Tastes like licorice.
Well, if you get the anise, you know what I mean? They also have the vanilla. I love pizzalies. My kids love them too.
Oh, no. You know,
my sister got the maker, though.
On the dessert front,
yeah,
it would be mostly... things that came in a box.
Yeah, right. Entenmann's,
right? Entenmann's.
You got that Entenmann.
There would be an Entenmann's, like, coffee cake.
Yeah.
Have some coffee cake. Have a little coffee cake. And then like, a cheesecake. There would be someone who would bring
Jersey
over a cheesecake.
Trash.
I know. I know. Yeah. I feel ya.
Yeah.
I wear it. But on the Puerto Rican side, my grandmother on that side, I remember my first dick joke that I ever told. And
how old were you?
I was 5 years old.
You, what do you mean you told it?
I told a dick joke.
You had an audience?
He's an improv dude. He's one of these guys who's performed for the family and shit. They're like, he's got talent.
Let put him up on the stage and give him a suggestion.
taking suggestions at First Communion and shit. Come on, what do you got?
I guess they're the shit out of that, Grandma.
So, you know, my parents were divorced when I was six, and I remember this being at the house, but it had to be five. I don't think it could have been earlier than that. And we're in the backyard, and we're on the swings, and my grandmother's pushing me on the swings.
Next to a statue of Mary.
Oh, gee, yeah, totally. And like a modern Mary, too. Like, real, so wearing something really tasteful and like nice.
Is it that old metal swing set where if you didn't put the legs down in the back real well, it kicked up?
Uh-huh. And, well, and the whole
rusted and shit.
And like, you know that like the poles didn't go too deep into the ground. It so it would move forward and backward with you.
That's how mine is right now, my house.
Yeah. So the so getting pushing, you know, she tells me a story. I don't remember what the story was, but she tells me a story. I'm sure it was fantastic. I was a little kid. I was very amused by it. It's like, Grandma, that was a great story. Can I tell you a story? And she's like, Neil, yes, you can tell me. Tell me, tell Grandma a story. And I was like, okay. So there's this little boy, and he has the longest pee-pee in the world. And I can see her face, like, starting to light
you
up.
You mean your papa?
Yeah. And she's like, what? Neil, what you say? And I was like, he has the longest pee-pee in the world, and it's miles long. And it, like, you know, it goes really far, and cars have to drive around it so they don't drive over the pee-pee, because you don't want your pee-pee to get driven over by a car. And she's howling. Neil, no, you can't say that. You can't say that. You can't say that to Grandma. You
can't
say that.
She's making the sign of the cross and shit.
But she's crying laughing.
Yeah.
And that was validation at an early age of like, oh, if you say things about your dick,
yeah,
people like
people
that.
Love it.
People love that. Style. There's no other lesson to be learned.
Yeah.
Moving
Amazing.
On. I know. So I have that memory, but it didn't continue, you know, didn't continue regularly having dick conversations with her. But then maybe I was 15 and my grandfather had passed away and she was now alone in Puerto Rico, like living in this house. And
would you go there regularly to Puerto Rico?
I would go for a period of time, like once a year. She would come up and stay with us a little bit as well. But I would try to call more.
Yeah.
But now you're having like, you're 16, 15, 16, 17. You know, I don't know what to talk to my grandmother about. Because we're not together every day. She's been in Puerto Rico for the last couple of years. She had moved back down there. Little cough break. So I roll the dice one day, and I'm like, Grandma, just out of curiosity, how's the whorehouse that you run down there? Is it going well, or like, what's the situation? Just, you know, testing the waters, seeing what's going to happen.
Wait, to see if she's going to get the joke or see if she's, like, losing it and doesn't know what's going on?
No, like, see if she's game to play. You know what I mean? Like, is she going to, are we going to have this weird, I don't know. I gave it a shot. I was feeling confident and weird, and I did that, and she, like, jumps immediately back, like, right back on it. She's like, oh, Neil, so many men.
Oh,
I can't even count them. And I'm like, oh, this is new. This is going to be a fun new thing that happens.
Yeah.
And then when I would call, there would be, you know, we would certainly have Grandma meal time, but then also there would it would turn to that, and I would try to outdo it, and then she would, you know, she'd go a step further than I would, and
like what? And,
like
telling you she was blowing dudes and shit.
Right. So like, not that, but
what's up, Grandma?
So I'd be like. So, Grandma, just out of curiosity, I know you run the place, but also you like to dip your feet in the pool. Do you have any, like, what's your favorite client right now? She's like, oh, Neil, I love them all. I like my favorite. But the one thing, no more black men, because they're so big, Neil, I can handle it. And then,
how old are you?
This is now 15, 16, 17, 18. I mean, like, I'm in my early 20s at this
point. Are you doing improv?
Just starting UCB. Maybe at 21.
Yes, and then his grandma.
Yeah, but I mean,
she opened Iowa West.
Yeah, oh, down you kidding me? Yeah, totally. And I mean, she, I'd get to a point in the conversation where I was like, well, I've got nothing else to say now. Yeah. You've won this one, and congratulations. So that's where it changed the whole dynamic because she's a proud woman who didn't have this relationship with anyone. Yeah. So when I would tell family members or like it would come up in conversation, they'd be like, what? Well, I don't understand what you're talking about. Be like, grandma, she's really dirty. Like, that's the most reserved woman I've ever met.
You had that connection.
She's absolutely not.
She might even been like that with your grandfather. You know, like, he may not even know that she had this, like,
totally
this hilarious, funny, dirty side.
I am very confident that my grandfather did not have that relationship with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like towards the end of her life. So she was in, I forget what the stages are, but like permanent care. And then the one before that is like
hospice.
Yeah. No, well, there's hospice. And then there's before that. Yeah.
Kind of permanent.
Yeah. Like just like, man, might be permanent. We'll see. I brought, you know, she's laying in the bed and I brought a gift for her in a little bag. And she's like, oh, let me see. And I open it up and it's just like silky red Victoria's Secret panties that I got her where she would. And she'd be like, no, you can't. The nurses are going to see that. That's no funny. Oh, but she's like laughing through it. But like, Neil, that's no funny. You can't. You're going to embarrass grandma. Yeah.
Maybe the funniest / weirdest relationship ever with a grandmother.
The idea that like we were able to have this super silly, ultra raunchy conversation and relationship. It is truly like one of the most special relationships I have ever had or will probably ever have with someone. I mean,
sending her panties.
Totally. Panties in the mail. I'd like all
panties in the mail. No, that's a great album.
Panties in the mail. Card, like all of the cards would be, you know, at a certain point, the Christmas card, birthday cards and Christmas cards got really like
drawing like penises on them and stuff.
No, but it's like the one, like, you know, it's going to always be a fireman and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to give a good message about what I think she should do with the fireman.
Yeah.
I had a relationship with my my grandma. So I had grandma, and then there was Grandma DeVito, which I was close with, but not as close as grandma.
Danny's
dad's mom. Danny's sister.
Got it.
And
Rhea's mother-in-law.
Comedy understood. Was the same thing with her. Like, we realized we would put shit on. Like, I remember we had my dad got the first, you know, early on when they got the, what do you call them, when they took the cable box and it just.
The splitter?
No, they just, it was like they do with the Amazon Fire Stick now. They, what do you call it? Jailbreak it, basically. Gotcha. But so we had everything.
Like a black,
you know?
Box or the magic.
Right.
Was put like
magic?
A card in or something?
I think there was.
It was
like
called
you
like
slid
the
a card
magic,
in. Yeah.
It was like the magic something. I don't remember.
I had it. I used to go meet this dude at a strip club by LAX, and anytime they zapped him, you'd have to get a new card, and he would always give me a new card and refresh it, but it got a little old, you know.
Yeah.
But we had Spice Channel.
Oh yeah,
and my younger brother,
so does grandma,
thought it was funny
it.
To put on Spice Channel while grandma was in the living room, and so we were like, I don't know, that's a little ballsy.
He was correct. The answer, he was a correct person.
He put it on, and she's doing her thing. She's not really paying attention at first, and then it's a shot I'll never forget. It's a shot of it's a guy standing facing camera, and this woman's on her knees. They're both naked, and she's giving him head, but it's kind of close up, and you see her hair from the back. And my grandmother finally catches, you know, a glimpse of it. And she's squinting at it. And we're dying. We're like, when is she going to? And she
How
goes,
old are you?
We're middle school, like eighth grade. And my little brother's like fifth or sixth grade. He's fifth grade. And she goes, she just says, she squints. She goes, what is that? Two foxes? I don't know. It made me laugh. I'm howling.
Well, one
and then,
fox, Grandma.
And then she's, you know, then the eyes got big. She said, oh, my God, turn that off. Oh, dude, we were fucking dying. Like, that was our goal, was to make her so mad that we laughed. Because she would throw her shoe at us. Like, that was her thing. She would take her shoe off and throw it at us.
Oh, yeah. My grandfather would chase me with a belt around the house.
Yep.
Like it was but a paper
we tested
boy.
Her. We put on Sam Kinison, and love she would that. Sit there, and he would do the whole bit about his girlfriend saying, fuck me harder, and he's screaming, and he's driving the car into her pussy and stuff. Uh-huh. And my grandmother's like, she would always sit there and laugh.
Is this
she'd
on
always-
record?
This is on HBO when he did his HBO special. We had HBO back then. We had the box. And she would go. She would never get really mad. She'd be like, turn this off. You know what I mean? And then laugh and laugh. Like, turn it off. And I do remember when my dad was like, he was even like, I don't know if I should let you guys watch this. My little brother went to bed and he put on Porky's. And my grandmother was in the room. And that scene when he puts his dick through the hole and they're grabbing on this, she is fucking screaming at my dad to turn off. And my brother and I are just, I can't even breathe. I'm like, oh, my God. But my grandma, she was cool. She's the one that she broke Magic Johnson. The only time I ever told my grandmother to shut the hell up. I came home from school. I was living with her. I was in college. And I walk in and she goes, Magic Johnson has AIDS. You know, said it like that. And I said, Grandma, shut the hell up. Then he did.
She just assaulted you with that information.
I go, what are you, you're crazy. She's like, look at the news. Look at the news.
She's been like baking pies all day. Like, I can't wait to tell someone. I can't wait to tell someone about
this.
That's
how she sprung it on me. But yeah, she was a good one, man. She used to make up stories when we were kids. We didn't want her to read stories. We're like, man, tell us a story. And she would just make these funny, imaginative you know, characters, and we would die laughing. Like, tell that one again. Like, we thought it was something she knew. You know what sure. I mean? And the whole time, she's just improvising these little stories at night.
Anything
so it was just
about,
so awesome.
Anything about a kid with the longest pee-pee in the world?
Yeah, actually. But we ran over it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you can't run over the pee-pee. Everyone knows you can't run over the pee-pee. That was a mistake.
I used to pen pal with my Aunt Rue when I moved here. And I have all the letters. Actually,
you did?
In my office, yeah. I have all the letters.
Well, you got to do something with that.
I am. And I kept them all. I have my nanny's write poetry, and we have all the poems, because she would like write her friends poems and shit. She would write me poems.
Poems?
Poems, yeah.
Relevant to like your life at the time, or just in general things that...
Like birthdays and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
And then, you know, she'd write you a poem and shit.
Send cool. it to you, like about you?
No, like... When that was when like I was being high school, my nana was still around. My Aunt Rue, when I was living in that condemned house, we pen pal like crazy. So like she'd write me letters, I'd write her letters. At the time my Aunt Gert had passed, so she was living by herself and shit like that.
I love the poem thing. I don't think anyone's ever written me a poem.
Oh yeah. And my nana would write it for everybody. So my sister has photocopied all the poems
that's cool.
she had, you know.
We talking haikus or
no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Freeform.
Yeah, freeform. Nice. I won a poetry contest once, came in third place, and she helped me write it.
Do you say you won a poetry contest and you came in third place?
Yeah, I do three prizes.
That's
first,
pretty
second,
good.
And third.
That's pretty good.
You watch horse racing? You watch horse racing? Come on, sick.
Actually, now you're talking.
That is
now you're speaking my language. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. You showed.
I showed.
Uh-huh, sure. I feel it.
You did show.
Me, Kristen Stead, and some other girl.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about this one here.
Oh, yeah. So living in New York City. You know, I feel like I learned some lessons in New York City, and then some I have not learned so much. And while I was in college, I went to New York Film Academy for like a summer program. I went and stayed with my cousin. So I lived in the city for 2 months. And part of our final project, after you learn the basics of filmmaking, the second month is go out and make whatever you want to make. And
they give you a camera?
Everything.
Digital?
No, you had a digital option, but I mean, they gave you as part of the whole thing, like 16 millimeter. 16. Yeah. RE, I forget what they were. They were like made in West Germany. There were just things that had West Germany on the,
wow.
Yeah. So a little bit older. But I mean, you know, shot nice black and white or color film. So you have everything that you need, and you've got a crew of people that are all, you know, your classmates, and you're all rotating jobs. So I'm working on someone else's project, and I'm in Washington Square Park, and I don't really know what I want to do for my final project yet. I'm figuring it out. And there's this guy, homeless guy, and like, you know, he's 2 feet into homeless. He's been doing it for a while, mm-hmm. for sure. And he's a black guy who wants to get on camera and do his material. He's doing
he's got material,
and he's doing Rodney Dangerfield.
Ah,
and right. He's like, "Hey, look at me! I've been out in the sun too long.
That's
I'm black
Rodney.
Now." And he does it, and he does it great. And I'm like, "Oh, he's actually kind of crushing right now. And I started doing stand-up when I was a teenager and, you know, was kind of like dabbling with it in New York, and I've always been obsessed with it. And I was like, can you come over here? Because he's standing in front of this guy's shot. He's trying to get a shot. I was like, you could just do it for me. So he starts doing it and he's making me laugh, just observing the world around him. And then I see him the next day and I'm thinking about him all night. And I was like, what if I took this guy from the streets to the stage over the course of 2 days? And I was performing like somewhat regularly at the New York Comedy Club, and those guys there, like, they just do not care. It's like, yeah, bring people in here and do whatever the fuck you want. So
this is like, remember a few years ago there was the homeless guy that sang really well? Do you remember this?
I don't.
And he was everywhere. Christmas time, they got him off the streets. They got him a job. I think he even got like a job in radio because he had a good voice.
No, I don't know.
Remember
this.
That shit?
Yeah.
And then they started finding out shit about him. They're like, oh, yeah. we might take that shine away.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, I mean, I learned a lot about this guy in the area, from other homeless people, but I'm jumping ahead in the story. So I meet him. I see him the next day. I was like, hey, I kind of want to do this thing. Can I take you out to lunch right now? And he's like,
I'm out.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm just missing the lunch, man. Yeah. We're out.
So we walk into a Subway, and the guy's like, Subway, the sandwich place, and the guy's like, he can't come in here. He's yelling. And I was like, this is my guest getting real. Just getting real, you know, 20 years old, not old enough to go to bars or anything in the area. Just like, listen, my suburban pride says that he is my guest and he will come in with me. And I start bringing him clothes. So at New York Film Academy, they have the shirts and they're free because they want people to wear them around New York City.
Yeah.
So I grab like 15 of them, bring them. Just new wardrobe of different colors of New York Film Academy shirts. Now all of a sudden homeless people are walking around wearing New York Film Academy shirts all around the Washington Square Park area. So I'm getting excited to do this and I'm starting to research because I'm a real artist. I'm 20 years old. Come on. You know?
You've lived.
I've lived. I know. I have experiences, but I don't have all the experiences. So I'm walking around one night. I can't get into bars because I'm only 20. And I see one of the homeless guys that I've gotten to know in the neighborhood who are friends with him. And I was like, hey, man, what are you doing? Like, nothing. It's like, I got $20. You want to walk in that store and buy an 18 pack of beer and then we can go drink it? And he's like, yep, come to the park and drink it with me. So we went, sat down in Washington Square Park. It's probably like 10 o'clock, and four other of his buddies show up. The guy who's my subject isn't there.
My subject. You're an artist.
I'm an artist. And we start drinking. We're laughing, having a good old time. Talking about God knows what. And then it's like two.
Dude's not there?
No, but he's not supposed to even really be there. I'm just kind of like learning about his life. He was a former boxer.
You're doing recon.
Yeah, I'm doing a little recon on him and I'm finding out a lot of stuff about him. He was like a former boxer who didn't work out. Turns out that doesn't work out sometimes.
Yeah.
Becoming a professional boxer.
And, if you don't work out.
Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't happen. So I'm learning about stuff and then, you know, I'm good and drunk, and they pull out a little blunt, and I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going to smoke some weed. They're like, I don't know if that's for you, looking out for me, but I want to be one of the guys. And it was, I'm pretty sure, PCP.
Yeah, I was going to say Sherm. It's probably Sherm.
Totally. And I'm, at this point, the sun is starting to come up.
Mm-hmm. And you've been...
So I've been drinking and doing drugs in Washington Square Park with five homeless guys. Learning about the subject of my student film. I'm like, well, fellas, I think it's time for me to go back to the indoor.
You're all right, Nick.
So I go back in and...
send her best to Rick.
I go back in and the person I'm staying with is like, he's going to work and he's like assuming I was out with a girl all night. And he's like, oh, I want to hear about this. Like, yep. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go to bed. And then I go to bed. And then he comes home after work the next day and we're hanging out. He's like, oh, man, so tell me all about last night. I'm like, well, here's the thing. I didn't go home with a girl. What I did do was hang out in a park with homeless people and get fucked up until the sun came up.
Oh, God.
And he just looks at me like, what? I don't understand what you're saying right now. And I, you have to explain that three times.
Right. Yeah.
No question. So I've, you know, I'm now fast forward a couple of weeks. I've got everything set for this shoot. I've got the spot at, Saturday night at the New York, at the New York Comedy Club. I've got a hotel.
What's he going
to
do? Like 5 minutes? You got a hotel
for him? 2 minutes.
Damn.
Like 2 minutes.
This
like
is
a,
nice. Two
like,
minutes.
Like, you know,
I gave him a bath. I
mean, yeah. Well, I had
some Epsom salt.
I had gotten I wanted to get him a suit. Like I had gotten like a thing, like a thing to get him tailored and mm-hmm. stuff like that. All like, you know, the most modest versions of these things, but something to like go on a journey and tell a story. And I go 2 days before the shoot, and he's not at his normal place on Bleecker and Thompson.
Hmm.
I know. That's
go figure.
Crazy, right? And then I go another day, and he's not there, and I can't find him. And now we're creeping up on the day that I am set to shoot this thing. And I talk to one of the guys.
Anybody see my subject? Anyway,
guys, I'm sorry. New York City, I know you're not used to it. I'm an artist. And I'm looking for my subjects. So I see one of the guys that I was drinking with in Washington Square Park. And I'm like, hey, do you know where Rodney is? He would go by Rodney. And they're like, oh, yeah.
They're doing my Rodney. He would go character,
by, he would go by Rodney. He would play. Did one thing. Did it well. Went by that. And they're like, oh, yeah, he's on the east side. He's been doing drugs for like the last few days. Like, and I was like, oh, no. And then the lesson I learned from the man who looked me in the eye like, look, man, Neil, you seem like a good dude, but like, I think you just learned a lesson, man. You can never trust a crackhead.
And I was like, a crackhead told you.
I was like, that's fair. That's a fair place to be. So now it's like the day before my student.
I just love that even the guy with nothing to lose got so freaked out about getting on stage that he went back to drugs. Like, nah, I'm going to
do heroin to calm down.
Yeah. And so I wound up putting together like a little last second sketch. Because we had the location of the New York Comedy Club.
I hope you used the hotel.
No, we didn't cancel
on that. Got your money.
It was, we made something called Clownfellas, which was a gentleman who goes up on stage and does some material about clowns and then goes outside. And there's three clowns standing outside with baseball bats and chains. And they chase him around the city and eventually, spoiler alert, kill him. So that's what I wound up getting instead of going on the journey of watching a man go from the street performer to stage over the course of a couple of days and exploring his life. We made a thing where clowns killed a dude, which, by the way, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. You won an Oscar, didn't you?
I won 2 Oscars. Yeah,
yeah.
I won one of the normal ones, and then they gave me an extra one. Oh, they were fuck. Tough. Yeah, we haven't seen something like this before.
Well, we are there. It's that time, man. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Would you please, whatever you want to promote, Dr. God, whatever you want, put it out there. Let people know.
You just come to my home.
Your house?
Yeah, just come to my place.
It's the park at Palms. And
Dr. God, 4th Saturday of every month at the Pack Theater. And of course, tune into my podcast, Crab Feast. every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. every Tuesday.
Hey man, that's a lot of fun. Thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy across all social media,
ryansickler.com, ryansickler across all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.